Good morning.
So, real quick, funny story. I was planning on going to this women's conference this week, and my sweet, awesome husband, who is a prodder, so be careful, by the way, I think it was Monday night or Tuesday night, late in the evening, he said, I want you to share when you get back. And for those of you that know me, it wasn't comfortable for me to do something like that. I like to get up here and give the fun announcements and tease and pray. But as far as maybe doing the service, I in the past when I have done it, the one other time, only one other time has he ever asked me to. I was super nervous, and if you were there, it was super short. So I thought, okay, you better do a long worship set, because I didn't want to, you know, except for it's summer, so maybe you'll get out early. But unusually so, I did not get that like sick feeling in my stomach and like, I'm nervous. I was like, okay. So I'm thankful that the Lord is, he grows us. Yeah. So thank you, as I'm speaking for those of you, to pray for boldness and courage for me as well. So I went to a women's conference in Montana, which some of you might say Montana. Well, let me just tell you, that is an amazing state. And those women, by the way, there's like an awesome, or I'm praying for it over Washington, but we're kind of part of their region, so we get it. But there's just such freedom. And I had went a few years ago and really enjoyed it. And I want to say, I wasn't like going, we don't go just to have like from experience to experience to experience. But I do believe that when something is imparted to us and we continually pursue it, we can be carriers and bring it back. So anyway, I wanted to go again, and my sister was invited to do worship again. So I thought, I'm going again. I want to go to this women's conference. It's called Unearthing Destinies. And but I was trying to tell myself, oh, I don't want to like mimic the same experience that I had. And I don't want to compare it. Like, what if I don't have the same feelings that I did? And I found myself saying that, but at the same time checked, like, don't worry about that. Just go and receive, and it's okay. So I wanted to encounter a fresh experience, and even greater than before, and one that continues even more than I've experienced before. So I'll share with you how this all started here on my plane ride. I flew from here to Seattle, and then from Seattle to Montana. And so from here to Seattle, I read my 1 year Bible. This is not tooting my own horn, by the way. This is part of my story. And I'm going to come back to that later, but I brought this book, and it's by Bill Cimbala, and it's Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. Has anybody ever read it? Because I'm going to just recommend it. Now, the funny story about this book is I've been reading it for a long time. Like a really long time. And that means it gets set down, and then I look at it and pick it up again. So I'm not quite as a quick, avid reader as my sweet husband is, but I do like to do it. But it's been one of those books where when I read it, I love it so much, so you'd think I'd finish it, but it gets set back down. And there's the moral to me telling you that as well. So I open up this book that I have been reading for a couple of years, I will admit, and you can, mock me later. And sure enough, the title is chaptered The Lure of Doctrine Without Power. Okay, great. I'm enjoying this. And just to summarize this chapter a bit here, he's talking about how, and if you don't know, he is the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle Church in New York City, an inner city church. And he was talking about how there's so many churches that he sees in inner cities and elsewhere that are just sitting as empty buildings, closed down. And then at the time, churches that he knows that actually did close down. And he's asking himself, are the pulpits not declaring the truth? Is that why churches are not growing and are diminishing? And he comes to the conclusion, and I'm reading this, okay, what's missing? And the absent element is what is expressed in the final sentence of the prayer in Acts 4, which we know well here at Heritage. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders. I love that verse. We've prayed that verse over our church and our city. And so I was like, yeah, that's awesome. And he goes on to say, what gains, and we've heard this too from Dab, what gains unbelievers' attention and stirs their hearts is seeing the gospel expressed in power. So I read this, right? Whew. So this really like jumped off the page to me. I was like, yes, that's what we want. We want power. And we have been decreeing this over Heritage, over our city, but I was just stirred even more by reading this off this page. In Hebrews 2:4, it said that God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So the early apostles prayed for God to do supernatural things. They wanted people to know that there was power in this faith. So I'm reading this in this book and just being stirred by the fact that the church needs power, right? Awesome. So he goes on to say, the author goes on to say in this chapter, that today he feels that Jesus is saying to the church, like he said to the church in Sardis, wake up and strengthen what remains. So again, I was like, whoa, wake up. I know, again, wake up. Okay, but no, it really, I was so stirred to just begin to pray that over Heritage. And so in the plane, I was just, at this point, I'm sitting with my sister, so it was okay. And I was just like, yes, Lord, I just believe for Heritage that we're going to that you're going to move by power more, because we've been seeing awesome, great things, and wake us up. So I prayed. I felt led to just pray for me personally and for all of us, we should, that I just said, God, I want you to revolutionize me in a supernatural way. I asked for that, for this from meeting with this conference. And so I finished reading the book and we landed. Yay, right? Okay. So I had the privilege of sitting underneath, literally, generals, women of valor. Ooh, and I looked up that word valor and that is it. And these are women who, it doesn't matter who they are, but they were the speakers at this conference, and I knew I was going to go and expect, and I wanted them to impart on me so that we can, because we're all carriers. So I sit down, and I'm ready to enter into worship, and I just enter into worship, and it's just a sweet sense of his presence, very sensitive, sweet sense of his presence during worship. And the speaker gal, who I've never heard of before, she gets up to speak, and her title, her right there on the screen in front, is, "Behold, I give you power." I was just like, whoa, Mufasa. I looked at my sister because I was like, I was reading that today. That was just, I just thought, yes, yay, God. So breaking down these words with behold is to meditate, to think on it, to absorb it. And then the I, this is the really cool, because we know who the I is. The I am, the Christ who's risen. Yeah. He gives free. We don't have to earn, ask, work our list for it. Power, authority, influence, right, and privilege to use, not to hold, to give it away, for us to have power to release to this kingdom so that it's like that. So awesome, right? So I was like, everything, this power, so everything that belongs to him is now ours, right? Let's say that together. Everything that belongs to him is mine. Yeah, I like it. Okay, so Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power, there's that awesome word again, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that word power is that dunamis, miracle-working power. Awesome, yeah. So the Bible records that the early church went in and demonstrated the power of God, and the church and city they were in were turned upside down. Yeah. So we are calling that on Heritage, that we will turn our church, our city, and our region upside down. Amen. Yeah. 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 So I was like, oh my word, God, you're so awesome. This word was what I was stirring. And it was like he was confirming every message to what was being stirred in my heart. And so when my insides, which some will understand what that means, but my spirit man, how about that, was being stirred as I was reading this book that was just jumping off the page, where back where I read where Jesus said to wake up the church, right? I talked about how the author said that he felt Jesus was calling the church to wake up. So here we go again. How awesome is God? It's pretty cool. So As we're sitting for our next session with a completely different person speaking, she stands up and she says that she wants God to awaken a greater sense of the reality of the true me, who I am, that he created. That we have seeds, we have the seeds of God manifest. She talked about how in the beginning we're created in his image, and I hear that so much. We hear, I, you know, Yes, we were created in his image. But if you really think about that, let that sink in, that you have the seeds of God manifest. We are different people because of it. We are carriers. So then she goes on to say, I love this right here, that God is longing to wake up the church. And in Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 2, it says, arise, shine, for your light is come, which is awesome. What I understand, and, you know, I have a person here that can verify, but he can do it later. The translation is, it really is, wake up and be set on fire. That's just awesome right there. Yeah, okay. Whew. So I'm trying to soak all this in. I still am, and I always want to. He's just so awesome. I just really think that it's so cool to just kind of fall in love with him again and just realize how totally cool he is. I kept saying he's cool like that, and I was hoping Mike was here to hear it. So going back to my plane ride, I was reading my 1 year. It's the date. I don't, like, if I miss a date, I just still go to the date I'm at. So August 18th, I'm reading my 1 year. It's Esther 1, if anybody read it that day. I enjoyed reading it. I didn't think, like, you know, whoa. I just was like, oh, I just loved how the story read. It was beautiful. It's really beautifully written, written like a novel storybook. It's awesome, but true, of course. So it's the story of Hadassah, Esther. And she, as I was reading it, though, a little bit later, I was like, she walked in the spirit of honor. She was asked to, give up maybe even what she wanted for her life, but she honored the Lord by obeying him, and she saved her entire people. And so for months now, I was like, first of all, I was like, whoa, you know, that was awesome, because I love that word honor right now. Because for a few months, I've just really been stirred with Pastor, I've really been stirred to be praying and declaring that Heritage is a house of honor. And I just was so stirred that when we honor one another and we as a church honor, God is going to pour blessings on us, awesome ways. So that day after that morning, when I was kind of reminded after that session about Esther and that she was carried this, walked in the spirit of honor, I was thinking, I was like stirred in my own heart, and this was for me personally, just that. Even so, to the point of repenting some, that I needed to begin to honor our government, and even now our government, and pray for them specifically, and pray. And I called my husband. I'm like, this is crazy. I just began to feel like I needed, not this part's not crazy, but just that this came to my mind to pray for our president. And I just seeing that we needed to pray. People around him who were God-fearing people around him, his counsel, and that the Lord would surround him with holy advisors and remove those that are against God from him. And I was just thinking that, and I just thought, well, okay, you know, I'm that way. Like, a thought will come through, and I'll think, cool, and then it kind of just, I don't follow through. That is something I'm going to be practicing now, because when we hear the voice of God and then we think, cool, the next step is to obey what it is. And that's awesome. And that's what Esther did, by the way. So I would like to read this chapter in Ezekiel 37, and you could turn there if you'd like. I'm reading it in the NIV. And what I'm going to talk about is how we, as Christians, Spirit-filled Christians, can release decrees or prophecies for things to shift, for things to become awakened. And so in Ezekiel 37, let me take a drink here, excuse me. Verses 1 through 10. Whew. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to the bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life, that you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I commanded. So he heard the Lord of the heard the word of the Lord and obeyed. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they stood up. Breath entered them, they came to life and stood up, a vast army. So, billboards are flashing in front of me how awesome God is right now, because he's just was continuing to show me that earlier in the day, I told you how I was thinking how we need to pray for specifically for our president and pray for holy advisors to surround him, that we can decree for things to shift, for things to change, for things to move. So I just encourage us to begin to start declaring and prophesying that the Lord would surround him with his favor, and because it's good for us in the United States, first of all, and holy advisors. So that was so awesome. So I say that because, again, God is so cool. It's our final night. And this gal who was speaking had said that the Lord had laid some areas on her heart that we were to decree for, contend for, pray for. So it was going to be a work service, she said. Instead of sitting, we were going to stand and pray fervently all together for some things. And wouldn't you know that one of those things was America. Pretty cool. But specifically our leaders, she said. And she wanted us to begin to prophesy and declare that President Obama, our current president, would be turned to God and surrounded by holy advisors. And even that as he laid his head at night, God would speak to him in dreams and visions for our country. Okay, that's awesome in itself. But for me personally, I was like, what are you doing to me? Because how awesome is that? Earlier in the day, just in meditating on honoring, I was called to begin to honor more. But that is something that we can do. And I encourage us to join with other Christians who are praying for that, because it's totally awesome. So totally cool. So I wanted to give this one example of how it's so cool, how in Ezekiel, where we have the authority, power, to decree and prophesy for things to shift. He said to those dry bones, live, and they did. He obeyed. So one of the gals that was speaking is from Canada, and I don't know much about Canada's government, but I'll just give you this short story. She has opportunity, though, which I just want to say right now, I just want to release political opportunities in our church, that people that are stirred to work in that realm, that we need good, God-fearing, godly people to begin to do that, to go and be congressmen, to make change, pray for them. If you're feeling like that, you need to listen. So she is a young gal, and she has opportunity to be the ears of Parliament and the Prime Minister of Canada listen to her. She has opportunity to sit with them, and she is an amazing little firecracker. And her ministry specifically prays for their country. They feel that's their calling, is to specifically like pray for their government and their parliament. And so one particular day in August, 2 years ago, they were at a meeting, at a gathering, and they were praying, and the Lord, there was a great sense of his presence, and she just felt the Lord said to her at that time, which, I want him to say it to me because I got a good thing to say, ask what you want and it's yours today. Yeah. So they began to intercede specifically for their government. And at this time, it was what we would call our primaries, and there's two parties, and they were neck and neck. At some of these parliaments were neck and neck, and they were specifically praying for God fearing parliament to be put into office, and she left after that prayer gathering, and she went to go minister somewhere else, and her assistant sent her an article from the regular newspaper that shows graphs. You know how we see them when it's election time. And it literally was showing how it was neck and neck and neck. And then on August of 2008, the day that they were praying, boom, big, huge gap. So what I'm trying to say is not, I'm not talking about parties. What I'm trying to say is we have the authority and the power to shift what's happening in our personal lives, in our family, and in our country. It's totally awesome. I was like, woo, this is so cool. So, I think I turned my, oh, so I was just amazed how awesome God is, because I thought, Lord, you are just continually affirming and confirming what was jumping off at my random, but not random, reading on the plane. And I go back to where he, in the book that I was reading, where we feel the Lord is calling our, the church to wake up. And the final conclusion of the service after the after praying for America, there was confirming words all over that there's a great awakening coming. And it's exciting. And I we prayed for it. And I want us to pray for it today, that we would wake up and see the things of the Lord. And then not just see the things of the Lord, but then obey, release it, give it. Because that's what we have the authority to do. Amen? So I wanted to do a closing prayer on some specific things, and then we're going to worship some more, and then maybe have personal prayer time. But I want us to stand all together in this prayer time. And I don't want it just to be me. I want us to just cry out for a few things, and then we'll do some more awesome crying out. These three things I'd like us to cry out for is more power, that dunamis, miracle-working power. It lives in us. It lives in us. It's not that we have to go find it. It's in us. We are filled with the Spirit, and that same miracle-working power is in Amanda right now. It's in us. And then I would like us to pray that we would have, personally and corporately, an awakening. We need to get woked up.
Amen.
That we would turn our city upside down, like they did in the early church. And then and then the third thing that I want us to do is pray for our government. We are in our city, even in primaries, we just voted or whatever. But just that we would pray that God would rest on them, speak to them, and surround them with his holy advisors, okay? Lord, we just call for more. Lord, we just want to be thankful, God, for all that you've done for us so far, personally and corporately as a church body. God, we're thankful for the move and the miracles and the testimonies that we're hearing, but we're just asking for more. I ask for more of your power. Lord, I pray that right now that the dunamis power that is in us would begin to rise, awaken, stir up in individuals right now, Lord. I pray that the sense of your Holy Spirit that's in their innermost being, that they're feeling, yes, that's it. That's it. Feel that. Stir that. Lord, I just pray, God, that power would fall on individuals and fall on our church body, that we would be awakened. Lord, that we would wake up to the things of you and that you have given us to do, and that we would obey and do it, Lord. I thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you that as we honor each other and we honor you and we obey, that we're gonna move things. We're gonna shift things. We have the power to prophesy over things that aren't as they are, and that the dry bones, like in Ezekiel, they were made whole. Lord, I just speak. Lord, I just speak right now to things in people's lives that are not looking good. I just declare now things change, that they shift. Lord, that healing comes, Lord, for miracles in their bodies and their finances, in marriages. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Father. And Lord, we just lift up our government to you. God, right now we pray for President Obama. Lord, I pray that you speak to him. Lord, surround him with advisors that are God-fearing advisors. Lord, I pray that as he lays his head at night on his pillow, that you give him dreams and visions that are from you, that he sees you, that he begins to have a holy fear of you. And Lord, I pray, God, that he would love you. God, I just speak right now that he would love you, God, that you would come show him your love, and in return that he would love you. Lord, I pray for the senators and the congressmen, Lord, that are serving our country. Lord Jesus, we honor these men and women, Lord God, that you have placed in leadership. Lord, we ask now that you come to them and that you speak to them, that you stir them, that you show your grace and mercy and love on them, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah.